A woman's face with nature's own hand painted hast thou, the master mistress of my passion. A woman's gentle heart, but not acquainted with shifting change, as is false women's fashion. An eye more bright than theirs, less false in rolling, gilding the object whereupon it gazeth. A man in hue, all hues in his controlling, which steals men's eyes and women's souls amazeth. And for a woman wert thou first created, till nature, as she wrought thee, fell a-doting, and by addition me of thee defeated, by adding one thing to my purpose nothing. But since she pricked thee out for women's pleasure, mine be thy love, and thy love's use their treasure. So it is not with me as with that muse, stirred by a painted beauty to his verse, who heaven itself for ornament doth use, and every fair with his fair doth rehearse, making a couplement of proud compare with sun and moon, with earth and sea's rich gems, with April's first-born flowers, and all things rare that heaven's air in this huge rondure hems. Oh, let me, true in love, but truly write, and then believe me. My love is as fair as any mother's child, though not so bright as those gold candles fixed in heaven's air. Let them say more that like of hearsay well. I will not praise that purpose not to sell. My glass shall not persuade me I am old, so long as youth and thou are of one date. But when in thee time's furrows I behold, then look I death my days should expiate. For all that beauty that doth cover thee is but the seemly raiment of my heart, which in thy breast doth live as thine in me. How can I then be elder than thou art? O therefore, love, be of thyself so wary, as I not for myself, but for thee will, bearing thy heart, which I will keep so chary, as tender nurse her babe from faring ill. Presume not on thy heart when mine is slain. Thou gavest me thine, not to give back again. As an unperfect actor on the stage, who with his fear is put besides his part, or some fierce thing, replete with too much rage, whose strength's abundance weakens his own heart, so I, for fear of trust, forget to say the perfect ceremony of love's rite, and in mine own love's strength seem to decay, o'ercharged with burden of mine own love's might. Oh, let my books be then the eloquence and dumb presagers of my speaking breast, who plead for love and look for recompense more than that tongue that more hath more expressed. Oh, learn to read what silent love hath writ. To hear with eyes belongs to love's fine wit. Mine eye hath played the painter, and hath stelled thy beauty's form in table of my heart. My body is the frame wherein 'tis held, and perspective it is best painter's art. For through the painter must you see his skill, to find where your true image pictured lies. which in my bosom's shop is hanging still, that hath his windows glazed with thine eyes. Now see what good turns eyes for eyes have done. Mine eyes have drawn thy shape, and thine for me are windows to my breast, wherethrough the sun delights to peep, to gaze therein on thee. Yet eyes this cunning want to grace their art. They draw but what they see, know not the heart. Let those who are in favour with their stars of public honour and proud titles boast, whilst I, whom fortune of such triumph bars, unlooked for joy in that I honour most. Great princes' favourites their fair leaves spread, but as the marigold at the sun's eye, and in themselves their pride lies buried, for at a frown they in their glory die. The painful warrior, famous for worth, after a thousand victories once foiled, is from the book of honour razed quite, and all the rest forgot for which he toiled. Then happy I, that love and am beloved where I may not remove nor be removed. Lord of my love, to whom in vassalage thy merit hath my duty strongly knit, to thee I send this written embassage, to witness duty, not to show my wit. Duty so great, which wit so poor as mine may make seem bare, in wanting words to show it. But that I hope some good conceit of thine, in thy soul's thought, all naked, will bestow it. Till whatsoever star that guides my moving points on me graciously with fair aspect, and puts apparel on my tattered loving to show me worthy of thy sweet respect. Then may I dare to boast how I do love thee, till then not show my head where thou mayest prove me. Weary with toil, I haste me to my bed, the dear repose for limbs with travail tired. But then begins a journey in my head, to work my mind when body's work's expired. For then my thoughts, from far where I abide, intend a zealous pilgrimage to thee, and keep my drooping eyelids open wide, looking on darkness which the blind do see. Save that my soul's imaginary sight presents thy shadow to my sightless view, which like a jewel hung in ghastly night makes black night beauteous and her old face new. Lo, thus by day my limbs, by night my mind, for thee and for myself no quiet find. How can I then return in happy plight that am debarred the benefit of rest, when day's oppression is not eased by night, but day by night and night by day oppressed, and each, though enemies to either's reign, do in consent shake hands to torture me, the one by toil, the other to complain how far I toil, still farther off from thee. I tell the day to please him, thou art bright, and dost him grace when clouds do blot the heaven. So flatter I the swart-complexioned night, when sparkling stars twire not, thou gild'st the even. But day doth daily draw my sorrows longer, and night doth nightly make grief's strength seem stronger. When in disgrace with fortune and men's eyes, I all alone beweep my outcast state, and trouble deaf heaven with my bootless cries, and look upon myself and curse my fate, wishing me like to one more rich in hope, featured like him with friends possessed, desiring this man's art and that man's scope, with what I most enjoy, contented least. Yet, in these thoughts myself almost despising, haply I think on thee, and then my state, like to the lark at break of day arising, from sullen earth sings hymns at heaven's gate. For thy sweet love remembered such wealth brings, that then I scorn to change my state with kings. When to the sessions of sweet silent thought I summon up remembrance of things past, I sigh the lack of many a thing I sought, and with old woes new wail my dear time's waste. Then can I drown an eye, unused to flow, for precious friends hid in death's dateless night, and weep afresh love's long since cancelled woe, and moan the expense of many a vanished sight. Then can I grieve at grievances foregone, and heavily from woe to woe tell o'er the sad account of forebemoaned moan, which I knew pay as if not paid before. But if the while I think on thee, dear friend, all losses are restored and sorrows end. Thy bosom is endeared with all hearts which I, by lacking, have supposed dead, and there reigns love, and all love's loving parts, and all those friends which I thought buried. How many a holy and obsequious tear hath dear religious love stolen from mine eye, as interest of the dead, which now appear but things removed, that hidden in thee lie. Thou art the grave where buried love doth live, hung with the trophies of my lovers gone, who all their parts of me to thee did give. That due of many now is thine alone. Their images I loved, I view in thee, and thou all they hast all the all of me. If thou survive my well-contented day, when that churl death my bones with dust shall cover, and shalt by fortune once more resurvey these poor rude lines of thy deceased lover, compare them with the bettering of the time, and though they be outstripped by every pen, reserve them for my love, not for their rhyme, exceeded by the height of happier men. Oh, then vouchsafe me but this loving thought. Had my friend's muse grown with this growing age, a dearer birth than this his love had brought, to march in ranks of better equipage. But since he died, and poets better prove, theirs for their style I'll read, his for his love. Full many a glorious morning have I seen, flatter the mountain tops with sovereign eye, kissing with golden face the meadows green, gilding pale streams with heavenly alchemy. Anon permit the basest clouds to ride with ugly rack on his celestial face, and from the forlorn world his visage hide, stealing unseen to west with this disgrace. Even so my sun one early morn did shine, with all triumphant splendour on my brow. But out, alack, he was but 1 hour mine. The region cloud hath masked him from me now. Yet him for this my love no whit disdaineth. Suns of the world may stain when heaven's sun staineth. Why didst thou promise such a beauteous day, and make me travail forth without my cloak, to let base clouds o'ertake me in my way, hiding thy bravery in their rotten smoke? 'Tis not enough that through the cloud thou break, to dry the rain on my storm-beaten face. For no man well of such a salve can speak, that heals the wound and cures not the disgrace. Nor can thy shame give physic to my grief, though thou repent, yet I have still the loss. The offender's sorrow lends but weak relief to him that bears a strong offence's cross. Ah, but those tears are pearl which thy love sheds, and they are rich and ransom all ill deeds. No more be grieved at that which thou hast done. Roses have thorns, and silver fountains mud. Clouds and eclipses stain both moon and sun, and loathsome canker lives in sweetest bud. All men make faults, and even I, in this, authorizing thy trespass with compare, myself corrupting, salving thy amiss, excusing thy sins more than thy sins are. For to thy sensual fault I bring in sense. Thy adverse party is thy advocate, and against myself a lawful plea commence. Such civil war is in my love and hate, that I an accessory needs must be to that sweet thief which sourly robs from me. Let me confess that we two must be twain, although our undivided loves are one. So shall those blots that do with me remain, without thy help, by me be borne alone. In our two loves there is but one respect, though in our lives a separable spite, which, though it alter not love's sole effect, yet doth it steal sweet hours from love's delight. I may not evermore acknowledge thee, lest my bewailed guilt should do thee shame, nor thou with public kindness honour me, unless thou take that honour from thy name. But do not so. I love thee in such sort, as thou being mine, mine is thy good report. As a decrepit father takes delight to see his active child do deeds of youth, so I, made lame by fortune's dearest spite, take all my comfort of thy worth and truth. For whether beauty, birth, or wealth, or wit, or any of these all, or more, entitled in thy parts do crowned sit, I make my love engrafted to this store. So then I am not lame, poor, nor despised, whilst that this shadow doth such substance give, that I in thy abundance am sufficed, and by a part of all thy glory live. Look what is best, that best I wish in thee. This wish I have, then 10 times happy me. How can my muse want subject to invent, while thou dost breathe, that pourst into my verse thine own sweet argument, too excellent for every vulgar paper to rehearse? Oh, give thyself the thanks, if aught in me worthy perusal stand against thy sight. For who's so dumb that cannot write to thee, when thou thyself dost give invention light? Be thou the 10th muse, 10 times more in worth than those old 9 which rhymers invocate. And he that calls on thee, let him bring forth eternal numbers to outlive long date. If my slight muse do please these curious days, the pain be mine, but thine shall be the praise. O, how thy worth with manners may I sing, when thou art all the better part of me! What can mine own praise to mine own self bring, and what is't but mine own when I praise thee? Even for this let us divided live, and our dear love lose name of single one, that by this separation I may give that due to thee which thou deservest alone. O absence, what a torment wouldst thou prove, were it not thy sour leisure gave sweet leave to entertain the time with thoughts of love, which time and thoughts so sweetly dost deceive, and that thou teachest how to make one twain, by praising him here who doth hence remain.